coming up on This Week in Radio Tech. Are you thankful? We sure are. I am. Chris Tarr is. And so are all the other engineers who are joining us on this week's This Week in Radio Tech. We are thankful for technology, for each other, for opportunities, and for all the engineering things that make radio work. It's all coming up next on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry, at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to that light bulb at the top of the tower. Hello, I'm Kirk Harnack. Welcome to Thanksgiving week. We're doing the show on a Wednesday instead of on our usual Thursday, because most of us will be taking a nap or watching television or trying to recover from turkey on Thursday afternoon at the usual showtime. Plus, Suncast informed me I'm not going to be able to do your show this week. So that means Kirk is producing it himself. Wow, this could be a real disaster. But that's okay. Hey, we're going to talk about things that we are thankful for, and look at the incredible panel of engineering experts, and thankful experts at that, that we have today. So welcome in, and let's go around the room real quick. First of all, my usual co-host, he's here almost every week, Chris Tarr. Hey, Chris, welcome in. Good to see you.
Good to see you. All this engineering talent and me. It's amazing.
All right. Marcus O'Rourke is here. Marcus from Colorado. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Shane Tovin from California. Hey, Shane. Good to see you.
Hey, Kirk. Always good to be seen.
Man. And Christian Vang. Christian, you've been on with us maybe once before, I think, maybe.
Years and years ago, yes. Well, coming to you from Asheville, North Carolina, the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio.
You're not in Georgia this week.
Nope. I'm up here working this week.
All right. And fresh from his trip way to the west or to the far east, however you look at it, Chuck Kelly. Chuck, welcome back.
Thanks, Kirk. Glad to be back at home here in Noblesville, Indiana.
Can you work in another studio?
Oh, there's Steve. Look, Steve is so busy. I'm going to mute Steve for a minute here. Chuck, were you greeted by the customs officer in the last 24 hours? Welcome to the United States, Mr. Kelly.
Yes, welcome back, he said.
Welcome back. All right, good. All right, good to hear it. And Steve Tusenut. Steve, tell me how to pronounce your name. Did I say it almost right?
Perfectly.
Ah, good. All right. Steve, you're with us. And where are you coming to us from, Steve?
I'm in Middletown, Connecticut, where right now I am the chief engineer of WIHS, soon to be moving to Lakeland, Florida, to be chief engineer for four stations down there.
Hey, if you're moving and it's your choice, probably something to be thankful for. So we'll talk about that. And absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, your friend and mine from Maine, Tim Braddock. Tim, hey, welcome in.
Hey, everybody.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Good to see you. I think Tim may be at the far end of the internet. His connection looks a little slow, but we'll deal with it. All right. We are talking about things that we're thankful for, and so much introduction. Our clock has already advanced to the time real quick where we're going to thank one of our sponsors, and that would be Nautel. So let me hit the Nautel screen up here real quick and tell you about Nautel and one of the things that they've got. Oh, there we go. Click it. There we go. And that is the VX series of FM transmitters. I've been talking to Jeff Welton and Jeff Wilson about the VX series of FM transmitters. These range from 150 watts up to 6 kilowatts. The higher powers are new for the VX series, and these transmitters were designed over a number of years to be simple, easy to fix. Most any problem with them you can fix without a soldering iron. So if you need to replace the FM amplifier palette, no soldering iron. If you need to replace the power supplies, of course, they slip in and slip out. The VX series is so cool, and you can read about them. They're compact, efficient, and affordable. They have more power choices now. They have, of course, the advanced user interface with secure HTML5 transmitter control, instrumentation, RDS is built in, SNMP, presets are built in, like so many of the Nautel transmitters, the modular ones from 3 to 6 kilowatts, they are modular for easy service and low weight, and they are 100% North American design, build, and I tell you, number one support. I need a few calls to Nautel support for a recent project that I was working on, and these guys are so thorough and just so terrific. I really appreciate them. By the way, they have an LPFM certified model as well, and a 4-year warranty on the VX series from Nautel. I thank Nautel for sponsoring our show, also for doing the Transmission Talk Tuesday roundtable discussions. Those will start back up as soon as Jeff Welton recovers from being on the road, and we'll get back to talking to other engineers with Jeff Welton as the host. Thanks a lot, Nautel. Nautel.com is the website. Appreciate you sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. All right, we're back with our engineers who are thankful, and wow, what a crowd we've got. And I thought we'd, you know, in our business of broadcast engineering, it's easy to get bogged down. It's easy to get bogged down in too much to do. We have a lot fewer engineers and just as many, if not more, radio stations than ever. I remember a time back in the 80s when a friend of mine moved from Chicago to Lexington, Kentucky, and he said, yeah, he had 6 engineers in Chicago to take care of literally one AM radio station. And now it's very typical that one engineer takes care of 6 stations, and it's only 6 if you're lucky. So many engineers are taking care of a lot of radio stations. So with that pressure, pressure from, corporate politics, people getting moved around, people getting reassigned, people getting asked to do more jobs, there's a lot of pressure on all employees, but I would think engineers very much as well. Nevertheless, we find things to be thankful for, and that's what I want to focus on during this show. So I'm going to hit Christian Vang up first, because Christian made a list, and I appreciate that. And wow. Christian, I can identify with every single one of these on your list. Christian, why don't you take us through an item or two on your list, and we'll open the discussion that way.
Sure. Let me pull up the list here just so I have it in front of me, because my memory is getting older as I am.
You're prepared.
I unfortunately had to talk enough on video conferences that I learned a long time ago I need to make notes ahead of time, or else I'll just forget everything I'm going to talk about. So I made a list of 10 things that I've come to appreciate over the last few years as an engineer. The first one is a really simple one, but I think it's probably one of the grandest innovations probably in the last 2 decades, and that's Studio Hub. Just simply because it makes wiring so much easier. You don't have to have as many types of wiring in a facility. It makes it go a lot faster. So that would probably be the first one that I'm thankful for.
Hey, Chris, let me stop you right there. Show of hands. Who uses Studio Hub to make your studio wiring faster, better, easier? Oh my goodness! Look, everybody. Oh wow! Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. By the way, I failed to put this in during the Nautel ad because my brain was so busy trying to do the Nautel ad. Look at this: a note from Stan and Sheila Carter. They're expecting a Nautel VX3 today. So that's pretty cool. And by the way, this message comes to us from Facebook. If you're watching live today, and there's already approaching 20 people watching live right now. If you're watching live on Facebook, you may have to answer a question or two, but you can make comments, and we'd love to hear from you on Facebook. And if it's relevant, we'll pop you up on the screen. So Christian, Studio Hub, what's your next item, Christian?
Compressor limiters. Because nothing fixes the multitude of sins that the way a compressor limiter does. I mean, you think about it. You know, how many things do we cover up in our day to day that we just, you know what? We'll just compress it a little harder. It'll be fine. So there's that. Number three, text message based alarms. For as many alarms as we get this day and age, being able to sift through what is text and what's important enough for a phone call I think that's a huge innovation.
Let me pause you there. That's significant. Who's old enough to remember if you did get a phone call, it was to your pager and all you knew was to call a number back? Are we all that old? Oh my goodness. Yeah. I want to ask Chris Tarr, Chris, with you're really an expert at SNMP. How do you?
Which is one of the things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for SNMP.
Well, yeah,
you and me both, brother. You and me both.
We'll get to that. But it is with most pieces of software that are doing monitoring and even built into pieces of equipment, of course, running software in the equipment. You can get a text that is contextual. It tells you, what the problem is, and so you can mentally be prepared to deal with it.
Well, and what I do, and it sounds like this is what Christian does as well, is like with the Burke, you can set warnings and critical alarms. So, I don't need a phone call if, something's drifted a little bit. If something's on the air or off the air, I want a phone call. But, that used to be the old days of remote controls. You got a phone call for everything. And, I always used to joke, if everything's an emergency, nothing is. So, the text messaging is there you go. Text messages is fantastic. And I love to be able to, know ahead of time, if something requires my immediate attention or not. But SNMP has been great for that because you can monitor a whole lot more and just have it dumped as a text or an email. And, I could monitor things I didn't want to monitor before because it would always result in a phone call. So, yeah, that's been great.
Mike Friedman on Facebook says those text message alarms are getting harder to maintain. I'm not sure what Mike means by that. What do y'all think?
So basically, a lot of the cell providers now have killed off. The way this has typically worked has been through email to cell or email to SMS gateways. Mm. And a lot of the cell providers have started to kill those off. So between that and the fact that a lot of email providers have now killed off public SMTP servers, and rightfully so, or insecure SMTP servers, rightfully so, it's getting harder. I just saw a comment down there that saw about somebody using SNMP and the Telegram API to send out messages.
That's Patrick Van Den Hook. He's calling from 2030. He's always way ahead of the curve.
And that's an excellent idea. I think push messaging like that is definitely, the way to go in the future. Mm. I think we'll see a move away from SMS slowly, but it'll die a slow and painful death as there are better alternatives to that.
Well, I'm really hoping that down the road, more manufacturers start putting in HTTP hooks so you can fire web hooks out to some of these services like Slack. Or to, some of the various other messaging, pager duty, some of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it would be pretty trivial for a device to send out an HTTP call to a site, basically, with your API key or whatever, and just say, hey, something happened. Now do whatever I told you to do, or whatever that particular hook is configured to do. Right. So
is the problem that these carriers and email providers, is the problem they're trying to solve just way too much spam, way too much nefarious stuff going on? And so they've locked down on how you can send things. So now it becomes more difficult to send things. I thought there were some paid either email or SMTP servers or paid SMS services where you can pay a little bit of money. And because you're paying, that they're much more sure that you are legit.
So I haven't looked at this in a while, but any of you guys know if SMTP to go is still a thing?
I don't know about SMTP to go. I typically just use, use a paid Google account and use the Google SMTP because it's rock solid.
It's getting harder to do that, though, because a lot of them now, a lot of devices don't necessarily support any kind of secure SMTP.
Right.
So, and that's becoming more of a, requirement now.
Joseph Brannon on Facebook says that, yes, SMTP to go. And I think by that he implies that it's still a good thing.
Good. Glad to know that's still a thing. It's been a while. But, I remember I've used that in the past. So,
and typically, most of the devices we're running into now that are fairly recent actually do secure SMTP.
Right.
So that hasn't been as much of an issue. And there are some other ways to do this. There are some services where, depending on the provider, you can hook in and do text messages through their gateway, without having to email to it. And in fact, sometimes, depending on the carrier, you know, they prefer that you contact them for that because it saves them the hassle and they can add you to trusted traffic. So, you know, if you explain to them what, you know, what you're using it for. So that's gotten better. But yeah, I mean, down the road, I'd love to be able to start working on. I started working on it a while back and just kind of left it alone using Apple push messaging. You do have the ability as a developer to do push messaging through Apple. And I've done that. I just have, you know, I kind of got started on it and got sidetracked on a couple other things. But it is possible. And I think that, you know, with Android and with iOS, push messaging is another way that can be done in the future.
We'll close out this topic in just a minute, but let me show you a message from Patrick Vandenhuck again. Twilio, good service for SMS, yeah. No spam, also SSL, TLS, SMTP to push connected email server works perfect. Yeah. Okay. That's that is one pay grade above me. Hey, we're going to continue with Christian's list in a minute, but let me check in with Marcus O'Rourke. Marcus, you haven't gotten much word in sideways here. What may top your list of things you're thankful for as an engineer?
Things I'm thankful for. Well, kind of the top thing from my list of things. Working at a place where I'm appreciated. It's just one of those things where it just. It doesn't seem like a big thing, but knowing that, I guess maybe I'm in a place that's a little different than where I was being a content distribution company, but it's just, I don't know, it's nice to be appreciated, even though what I'm recommending may not be the best idea. But at least it's heard, and okay, thanks.
I am fortunate to work at a company where 99.9% of the time I feel appreciated, and boy, I sure notice it when I, and usually it's in my mind, you know, it's usually not them, it's me thinking I'm not appreciated. So, yeah. Wow. Hey, as long as we're going around the horn, Shane, you had some rough news this week, and you are always able to pull a rabbit out of a hat. What are your thoughts on engineer thankfulness at this time?
You know, I'm just thankful that that I work in an industry where there's just so many innovative minds out there thinking about this stuff. I mean, yeah, you've got people who are stuck 30 years in the past, and I like to joke about that. I like to poke fun, but there are so many just absolutely amazing and innovative minds out there thinking about what's next and thinking about how to actually do what we do and do it better. People far smarter than I am. I had the privilege of talking to the IEEE BTS last week. And Kirk, I know you were there as well. And man, in that room, I felt so so outclassed in terms of the amount of knowledge present among that group. But yeah.
You know, and riffing on that for a second, when we go to whether it's an SBE-sponsored event, a state association-sponsored event, or that IEEE event, that and Paul Schulens, wow, he really puts together an amazing group there. We all learn because, like at that IEEE event, we got information from experts in parts of our industry different from our own expertise. So, right. Shane, you talked about what you're expert in, and you're expert in several things, but then we got to hear from people who are expert in things that we just don't touch very often or we take for granted.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, I'm thankful for colleagues. I'm thankful for, you know, just such an amazing community around this industry. I mean, and it is a pretty tight-knit group, especially on the engineering side of things, and that's what I'm really thankful for.
Well, I'm thankful for all the camaraderie that engineers tend to exhibit toward each other. There's very little infighting amongst broadcast engineers, and you know, one guy that I just loathe to fight with, and that is Chuck Kelly. Chuck,
we'd never fight, Kirk.
Finally, welcome back again to the
Thank you.
The U.S. You were out of the country. What
I
were
was
you
in
doing?
The Philippines.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. We had their NAB of the Philippines is called the KBP, and we were exhibiting at the KBP, and I actually did a technical seminar last Friday that was both virtual and in person. We had over 200 people involved, and we had presenters in 8 different countries. So that was great. I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. The most important thing is, you know, people have all kinds of jobs. People do all sorts of things, you know, from bagging groceries to selling cars to keep food on the table. But we work in an industry that really makes a difference in people's lives. And, you know, I whether it's a small market, I'm more familiar with small market radio than big market, but in a small market radio, many stations are components of the community. They go to the city council meetings. They broadcast the local basketball and football games on the weekends. It's internationally, and I'm much more familiar with international, it makes such a difference when natural disasters occur. Radio is the only thing people have, and it makes the difference in people's lives every day. And I'm so thankful that I work in an industry where I can go home and say, I work in an industry that makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's a good point. And it still does. And even to me, even if it's not real-time over-the-air radio, and a lot of us work for companies that have added, you know, what they call digital, right? But we really mean podcasts and on-demand things. Those make a difference too. Hey, we're coming up on a break, but not yet. Let's run over to Steve Tuzanu. And Steve, what are you thankful for at this point coming up on this Thanksgiving?
Well, a lot of things. But first of all, I'm thankful for Twirt. I'm a big fan. I watch it all the time.
And thank you. Checks in the mail. Appreciate it.
I'm thankful for the fact that I'm working for a radio station that appreciates me. And I'm known as the engineering rock star here. And the reason is I upgraded them from Harris Metalist consoles to Wheatstone AOIP and all state-of-the-art. This radio station has gone from state-of-the-art digital, and that was a lot of fun. Enjoyed that very much. I'm also thankful for Telos because we were streaming with a Windows computer, and every time I got an update, I had to restart it and launch the apps to be streaming. And then I ran out and I bought, well, I didn't ran out. I ordered from my equipment dealer a Telos ZipStream 1R, and I love that box. It's up. It just runs. It sounds great, and it just runs.
Yep.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve, didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I've got a whole bunch of other things I can be thankful for, but, you know, I'm also thankful for the opportunity that I'm going to be moving to Florida, being a chief engineer for 4 radio stations for Hall Communications. I'm also thankful for Marcos O'Rourke's YouTube channel. I watch that a lot, too.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm also thankful that I have a wife that understands when I have to leave the house at an odd hour to take care of something.
That's a blessing. That really is. All right. Thanks, Steve. We'll be back around. Don't worry. We got 40 more minutes to go. Tim Braddock from Maine. Man, it's good to see you. Tell me what you're thankful for, Tim.
Where do you think Nautels come from?
Well, I
Maine, guys. Come on.
Ah, okay.
I may be living on the other end of the country, but when you get your Nautel, it comes through Bangor, Maine. So, you know, there you go. I'm a little more nostalgic in the fact that I'm way along in my career, and I'm now a contract engineer instead of an employee, which does have its benefits and its drawbacks. I'm really thankful that my dad worked for NBC Radio from 1932 to 1939 as an artist relations person and kept a scrapbook of his time there. And I found that when I was about 12 years old, and I said, radio, and here we are. So I'm very thankful that my dad kind of spurred me on. And I echo the same thing with everybody else. It's great to have a camaraderie of engineers, of guys you can call up on the phone, hey, I'm stuck, you know, I what the heck? And, oh, try this or try that. And I'm thankful that these people are also bring along the new technology. You know, doing that seminar on Long Island at Hofstra a few weekends ago, it was very enlightening. And it's just fun to keep in touch with everybody, to understand the new technologies that are out there. and to still be able to participate. And thank God there's no more tube transmitters in any of my clients' boxes.
I hear you. Oh, good point. Hey, let's just hit a couple of comments that came in the last few minutes before we take our next break. Patrick again says, use ChatGPT to write code in several languages. Just ask what you want. I've heard of this. I'm not a code writer. You guys do this? This is cool.
It works.
It works.
It does.
Wow. All right. And Steve and Tim, so sorry to cover you up with the lower thirds here. I apologize. Patrick says, be open to change and open to learn. I think that's important for elder techies. 31 here. Patrick is just 31 years old. What a babe in arms.
He's a baby.
He is. Now, we got a little bit of nostalgia here from Ray Fisher Tony. I still like Reel to Reel.
You know, now I will say there is something magical about cutting tape and splicing tape.
Yeah,
it really is.
That was like my very first job, my very first station. I ended up cutting a 2-hour jazz show on Reel to Reel, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Well, I should add in here that one of the things that I'm really grateful for is we don't have to clean heads and capstans anymore.
No, we've traded that for updating software drivers.
Yeah, that's right.
And both made you feel a bit worthwhile. You know, the thing about Reel to Reel, and I want to mention what Ray Fisher Tony said, that watching those reels go around, it's a visual indication of the passage of time. I was always mesmerized in public radio. I started in public radio watching these reel to reels go around. And sometimes they would squeeze on the thinnest tape on the planet, an hour and a half, opera, right? What was the size of the good size reel? I don't mean the very biggest one available. We didn't have those, but
seven inch reels.
Yeah.
No, the next size up from
10 inch,
the 10 inch reels. Cause there was one size even bigger that we didn't use.
Right.
And very few machines would handle those. But anyway, yeah, just watching you're getting near the end when the supply reel was going fast and the take-up reel was going slow. Passage of time. Hey, yeah. We are talking to these great engineers about things we're thankful for. Christian Vang supplied a list of technologies, but also we have comments from everybody, and they're coming in, and we'll talk about more of them as we move along. It's This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host, along with Chris Tarr, our co-host, and we'll be right back after this quick message from Broadcast Bionic.
Camera One from Broadcast Bionics. Designed to bring video to your audio content. Visualizing radio and podcasts for social media. Camera One can automatically create, capture, and brand professionally switched video for live streaming or upload, making your production shareable. Control and configure using a web browser on any device. Camera One is available as a 4-camera or 8-camera system using the Blackmagic A10 Mini range, including the A10 Mini Extreme. You can use cameras to suit your studio and your budget. You'll need one camera for a studio wide shot and usually one camera per microphone. A standard multi-channel sound card or IP driver monitors audio from each studio microphone, and we work natively with Axia systems. Ideally, this will be a post-fader feed from each mic, although you can use pre-fade audio or a mic split if that's all you have available. These audio levels are used to intelligently switch the video feed when each contributor is talking. You can also group microphones together into one shot and use the audio from a mixer's aux bus. You can use Camera One's auto switch feature, or disable it and switch using the on-screen buttons or the buttons on the ATEM. Recordings can automatically start when you tell the system you're on the air. This on-air indication can be linked to your studio's Red Lights Fire IP or an Avantech Atom GPIO interface. You can quickly browse all the videos that have been automatically created during your broadcast, download them, and post. Camera One is a user-installable system. You'll need a good-spec Windows 10 PC, i7 with plenty of storage, and 16GB of RAM. It's better if this machine isn't used for anything else. Remember, you can control the software in a web browser on another device on your network. Camera One, a thrifty way of creating scroll-stopping video from your show or podcast from Broadcast Bionics.
I sure want to thank Broadcast Bionics for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. And boy, they make broadcasting so much easier. You can do a whole lot more doing the things you do now anyway if you've got Broadcast Bionics solutions running along with you. Hey, welcome back to This Week in Radio Tech. I've got a whole bevy of guests and my co-host, Chris Tarr, here with me. We're talking about things to be thankful for. I want to jump right back into the list here. And again, thank you, Christian Vang, for providing today's show notes. You made my job so easy, so easy. And Christian, I'm going to throw up on screen here something that you suggested, and I think you'll recognize it.
Yes.
What is this?
The Klein 11-in-1, the most useful screwdriver ever created. I mean, how many engineers do I know that don't have one of these?
It's I guess I need to go out and buy one at Home Depot today.
Yes. Christian, I carry one of those on every single trip. It never leaves my backpack. And yeah, occasionally the TSA guy will take it out and go, measure it. Oh, yeah, it's under 7 inches. Yeah. Okay, you're fine.
I have several.
The most useful screwdriver ever made, you know? So yeah, that was number what, 4 on the list. Wow.
What's so special? I mean, I've got a multi screwdriver like this, but it's not a Klein. This one looks like maybe it's got better build.
It's better build. The nice thing is it's got the nut drivers in it as well as all of the number 2 and a number 3 Phillips, number 2, number 3 slotted. So you really have a lot of options there. And granted, there are a lot of knockoffs, but I think the Klein is the most comfortable and probably the best built.
Well, so it does seem to have that rubber handle. So that's a real benefit there.
You're not going
to
electrocute yourself in a transmitter. That's true.
You're making me dizzy.
Leave it to engineers to be thankful for a screwdriver. All right. I'm going to stick with Christian's list here for a minute or two. PoE, you are thankful for PoE.
Dude, if there is one network technology that I think is a game changer for broadcasting, it is power over Ethernet. In fact, so much so that you are even starting to see higher power versions of it come out for other areas of the entertainment industry. So if you look at, for instance, in the lighting world where they use DMX as their primary protocol, there are now high power versions of PoE that are coming out that can drive entire LED moving fixtures. And so you think about the number of different accessories that are around the studio that, you know, in the past you've had to run power, you've had to, you know, have power supplies, power strips, whatever. PoE just makes that so much easier, and it's less wire, less work. So that's why that one made it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who else is thankful? Anybody mad at PoE? Is everybody happy about PoE?
I'm happy about PoE. I just put in a big Axia system, and being able to run regular power as well as PoE to have that redundancy. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's a little bit of interesting story. Years ago, I was actually introducing Axia equipment into the Chinese market, and I was told in no uncertain terms that the original nodes that Axia made only had one power supply, and that was unacceptable in the Chinese market. And basically, it was you go now, you are uninvited. Wow. And so I took this information back to at the time it was Mike Dosh, it was Catfish, and I said they're not going to accept that it doesn't have two power supplies. And we thought about it for a long time. We thought, well, what if one of the power supplies was external? Would that be a problem? I don't think so. So they decided, and as many other companies have too, one internal power supply on commercial power and the other one on PoE. If, of course, your device can run on 15 watts or now on some higher standards. So that's how you get two power supplies. One is the commercial, one's PoE. And apparently you can set smart switches to point out, hey, this device has drawn a lot of PoE now. Did you know that? Yeah. Maybe you should be aware of that. So
one of the latest things, Kirk, is actually commercial lighting. Christian, you mentioned intelligent lighting, but also just general purpose office lighting is now they're making PoE office lighting. And I guess the reasoning behind that is, you know, to make it easier to have it installed and wired and just kind of a common platform. And as energy management systems become more and more commonplace, you know, it's easier to control them as well and keep those energy costs in check. So,
looking down Christian's list, how many of you have left the transmitter site with the transmitter or the remote control in the local position?
Never.
No, it never happened. No.
Everybody here has done that.
Nothing is worse than being an hour down the road and realizing, oh no, I've done that. I'm that guy. You know?
Or walking in a week later realizing, I'm glad nothing went wrong because I couldn't have fixed it anyway. So, Christian, what is your comment here? What are you thankful for? The ability to remotely put it back in remote? Correct.
The remote local relay. So at the very least, I can make the transmitter send me an alarm every 5 minutes until I hit the button again.
Oh.
So that I can't get too far down the road before there's an indicator that I messed up.
Yeah, I know another engineer who did something similar. They had a big red light at the exit of the building that basically had several conditions that had to be met. And if that red light was still on, you didn't leave until.
Wow. Wish I'd thought of that.
especially
locations. Yeah, it's really helpful. I mean, it's an idiot light, but, you know, I had this orange light over the door and you cannot leave the site with this blinding orange light going, duh.
Right.
Tim, I don't remember if it was you or another engineer who told me about that, but I'm like, that's a great idea.
Yeah. No, it's cheap and simple. And one of those things that we've all done, we all know. Right?
You know, I bet there's some way to use your Bluetooth or your proximity. And this is depending on this starts to depend on a lot of systems, but I'll bet you could use like if this then that, so that if you just get out of range, it will warn you. There might be some way to, you know, configure that kind of thing. And that maybe that's too much. Maybe just a hardwired light is a good enough.
Or a buzzer.
Or a buzzer, yeah. Zoom conferencing.
Ah, okay. So the pandemic and thinking back on the last 4 years of just really where we are as an industry, Zoom, I think, was the game changer during COVID. We have our broadcast specific platforms and things like that we used. But in terms of just keeping people connected with one another so that relationships could still be there, Zoom was the winner. I think the clear winner in that. And so, especially in the business world, it's how we all kept in touch. So I am kind of thankful for that. One, because it was good technology. It got better as the pandemic went on. So much so that, like, I've got clients right now who are using Zoom as a phone system for on air, or who are very simple. You want to create a quick and dirty production room hybrid. You plug in a Zoom handset to, you know, an audio interface and off you go. So kind of thankful for that one. It made life a lot easier during the pandemic.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's run through a few more comments that have come in from our live social chat. Any of you, please jump in here and make your own comments. Let's see. Well, and I don't mean to be self-serving here, but Ray Fisher Tony says, I'm thankful for Omnia processors. Well, Ray, I'm thankful for you. Thank you very much. You helped make the world go around. Tim Braddock. Oh, Tim's got a couple of you have an Atari 5050B, dude? Oh, man. Yeah, I love those things.
He's working in New York radio at Emmis. He's like, well, we're going to throw these reel-to-reels out. And I'm like, no, you're not. So I had Bob Schuster on Long Island is my go-to for reel-to-reel stuff that I can't fix. And he fully restored my Tascam 32, which is my workhorse. And then the Otara MX-5050B, which sometimes you can see behind me here in my my voiceover studio, because I actually have music, real old stuff on reel-to-reel that I haven't digitized yet. And every once in a while, I'll just slap a 10-inch on there and dig something up. It's fun. I don't splice anymore. Those days are over. But
Ray Fisher Tony was thankful for his Ampex 350. Great audio, and I do not disagree with you. What about Don here? Don, I'm sorry. I'm afraid to pronounce your last name. Does anybody know how to pronounce Don's last name? No? Okay. Marty, for good sounding remotes, now internet feeds remotes, talk back. So he was thankful for the Martys when we had those, because we did plenty of remotes with those, right?
So my first job I did a couple of Marty remotes. Again, this, you know, young green engineer didn't know any better. We got out there, we set up the Marty. I'm like, okay, this is a kind of a pain. But this was in rural northern Minnesota, so you didn't have a lot of options.
Right.
And the range at which, I mean, you could only, it's a 100 kilowatt station. The Marty could only hit so far, you know. So when POTS Codex came along, oh my goodness, that was absolutely revolutionary in the rural markets. And suddenly we could have studio quality audio. I was doing full call-ins out in the field with studio quality audio. And we had listeners going, there's no way you're on remote. I'm like, yeah, we are on remote.
Yeah, but people would, when people wouldn't believe you. And now with internet remotes, you know, I think in the earlier days of the internet, people, I was talking to Tim Berry, who does all the remotes for the UT Vols, for the Vol network. And oh man, that's a big responsibility there. It's got to work. Tim's been a guest on the show before. And, you know, Tim wasn't always excited about IP. He kind of liked ISDN. I'm thankful that we have IP and it's much more ubiquitous these days. Let's see. Pep, to speaking back of the Klein.
I will tell you, there is a version of the 11-in-1 that is a nut driver.
Uh-huh.
That will do 9/16, 3/8, half inch, regular nuts, and it's just as cool. So,
Ray says, "Thanks for Angry Audio Failsafe." And you know, there have been failsafe devices around for years. I think the Angry Audio one is the new good modern one that is well designed these days. There wasn't what Plan B? Wasn't there a Plan B years ago?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Let's see. Alex McKenson says, thankful for the IP-based remote controls and equipment transmitters. 10 years ago, still picked up a phone listening to Perfect Paul over a Burke telling me the alarm.
That's very true, Alex, especially in our infrastructure. You get 1,000-something signals, and you can literally get into any of them with a few clicks. And, IP-based remote control has been an amazing revolution in the industry.
Charlie Wooten. Hey, Charlie, just went to Amazon, ordered one. I assume he's talking about the Klein 11-in-1. Yeah.
One of us.
I would have ordered one already, but I'm kind of producing the show here. Let's see. Does everyone know what PoE is? Power over Ethernet. And so this is when the Ethernet switch can provide power to an end device like a phone or an Axia X node or a Wi-Fi access point?
For the real nerds, the standard is 802.3AF and later AT. And I think there's even another one now, but those are the two that are probably most common.
There's
right
a plus.
Now. Right, right.
Here's a thankful that I totally agree with. Solid state FM transmitters. I can toss my truck and rack mount by myself in an emergency. Yeah.
Did any of you guys ever think that we would have 5 kilowatts in like 4RU or 6RU?
I'm not pushing any brands here, but Elanos now has 10 kilowatts in about that size.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Oh my goodness. I'm thankful for that reliability. I'm thankful for the, they still need airflow, right? So you still, but now it's more and more and more practical to have a closed air conditioning system. Instead of, hey, we can't afford to air condition this, 50 kilowatt FM transmitter. We've got to bring in outside air and all the bugs and dust and mess that accompany that.
Well, and if you can afford it, the liquid cool
that when you press plate on, it doesn't go boom anymore.
No, but sometimes it makes that really weird sound and smell with some smoke coming out of it.
Oh.
That's when the power supply transistors go, but yeah.
Oops, lost a few FETs there.
Yep. No, the liquid cooling stuff that's out there for FM, especially now, is pretty cool. So I think that's really awesome that we can build buildings that really have very little air conditioning in them, because there was a time when we were dumping 40 and 80 tons of air conditioning into these rooms to cool transmitters,
Or for that matter, if you're forced into a site that doesn't have good HVAC and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Like I've got one site in Colorado that I affectionately call the tin can on the side of the mountain. That's literally what it is, with two very large barn fans pulling air through there. And that site had no end of problems. But then we put in a couple of liquid cooled transmitters and all those problems went away.
Right.
So,
So some of you take care of a number of sites. Chris Tarr, you're certainly included in that group. Christian mentioned Zoom conferencing, and I'm really thankful for FaceTime or its alternatives to get the secretary, the disc jockey, to show me what is going on there. And they may not know how to do a screen capture and put that in the email, but they sure can whip out their phone and take a FaceTime call or a Facebook Messenger video call. What have you guys... how has that helped you guys? Anybody got a good story?
So on a personal level, my dad, he's not a technology guy, but he's found himself with an Amazon Echo, and sometimes it goes sideways, and he has no idea how to fix it. But he's got his iPad, so we could FaceTime. He could show me what's going on the other device, and I can say, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this, and walk him through getting it back to its senses. Mm-hmm. So. Similar.
Well, I could think of a time just in the last couple of years when I was working at a commercial station and a DJ would call and say, hey, I don't know what's going on with the console. There's too many buttons. There's too many lights, because let's face it, there's the quality of the operator isn't getting better. So there is a lot of times where we need to be able to look at the situation and go, okay, well, you just need to press this button or you just need to push the fader up more. Something like that. And very often FaceTime was the savior and kept me from having to take a 45 or, hour long trip.
I can add to that, Chris, things like SplashTop and TeamViewer. Mm-hmm. I have a client, my furthest away client is 5.5 hours away. And so I use SplashTop to get into the 3644. I use it to get into the server for Playout One. I use it to look at the Nautel transmitter. And this year, just before I left, because the winters in Plattsburgh are brutal, I put a camera up at the transmitter site, an internet camera. So not only do I have the remote control, I can look at the Nautel, but now I can physically look at the rack. So it's a shared site. So it's amazing how many times that thing gets triggered by people walking past my camera and then going, bah!
I make faces at them.
I got a second the camera thing. We chose to use Wyze cameras because they're cheap, and we've got Wyze cameras at all our transmitter sites. Some have several of them, and even the transmitter sites that have a crummy internet connection still work pretty well with the Wyze cameras. I've got one site, a studio site, that's got two somewhat shaky internet connections, a main and a backup shaky internet connection, and I put a Wyze camera on the modem for the main one, but the Wyze camera's connected to the other one, so I can look at is the light blue or yellow on the 5G modem.
I love it.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, sometimes the best solution is the simplest, right?
That's right. We got more comments coming in, but I tell you what, we've got to hit a quick short break here. And I've got a new thing to talk about here. By the way, thanks for tuning in. If you're watching us live, that's great. You can give us some comments on Facebook or on LinkedIn. And of course, if you're watching the replay, well, I guess you can't do that, but I hope you enjoy it and have a great Thanksgiving anyway. Got a great bunch of engineers here. Hey, our show is brought to you in part by Innovonics and Broadcasters General Store. Innovonics has a new product out. It's the 611 streaming monitor. Let's find out about it.
Hi, I'm Ben Barber, President and CEO of Innovonics, and I'd like to show you some of our new products. This is the Model 611 Streaming Internet Radio Monitor. We've added a few things from our 610 to upgrade to the 611. We've added in the ability to do HTTPS streams as well as HLS streams. There's a lot of new metering here. You can see the buffer and the ping rate, also the information there for what's happening on the stream. And then, of course, there's a lot of extra stream info information that our engineering team has put into this product. Great product, shipping in June, very good.
Big thanks to Inovonics, and also something else from Inovonics that's coming out any day or any week now, and that is the new triple tuner model 677 from Inovonics. And let me make that full screen so you can see that better. Get rid of all of us there. There we go. This will can take care of your EAS monitoring requirements for picking up other your AM, your FM stations, and your NOAA weather radio. So these are going to be very popular. Now there's if it's from Inovonics, you know it's going to be really good. So thanks a lot to Inovonics for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Really appreciate you. And if you need Inovonics or anything else from an equipment point of view, you can contact Broadcasters General Store. BGS.cc is the website. And you can give them a call at 352-622-7700. I deal with BGS on a weekly basis, almost every day, as I work with them in my full-time job with Telos Alliance. To answer questions about Telos, Omnia, Axia equipment, and get these things in the hands of broadcasters. So thanks a lot to BGS, and thanks a lot to Inovonics for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Sure appreciate all of you. All right, it's our Thanksgiving edition 2023, where we're here talking about things that we're thankful for. And let's see. Boy, once again, we'll default to Christian and his list. HTML5 web interfaces.
Yes.
Oh, what a blessing these are. Yes. My goodness.
Let's get away from Java and all the thick clients and all the various things that you never had on your laptop when you went to the top of the mountain. So.
Yeah.
That definitely a huge game changer.
Well, we can HTML5. You know, it's almost like being there. We can, you know, as you know, Axia and I guess other companies too have done amazing things with very much real time information transfer onto an HTML5 interface. So we can do an audio console. We can do a phone system. We can do modulation monitors on things that we as broadcasters need to look at. Wow, that's a good thing. And I know companies that started out in the Java and Flash world, it ain't easy moving to HTML5. It's you might as well just start from scratch.
It's a rewrite,
and rewrite. Yeah,
sure.
So this internet thing has been pretty helpful.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and what makes it even better is now with the FCC rural broadband initiatives, there is now mass available fiber just about everywhere in the country.
Yes.
or getting close, you know. And so I think that's a huge game changer, because this 50, 60, 70-year-old copper infrastructure is finally getting replaced. It's going to make things a lot more reliable.
So we have 8 people on the call here on the show. How many of us are on fiber right now?
In fact, I literally just switched over to fiber yesterday. I'd been on cable for a while. And the biggest thing with cable is that, you know, your downstream might be okay, but your upstream gets kind of limited. Well, on fiber now, I've got easily 1 gigabit symmetrical all the time.
Right.
And it's great.
Now, I'm a little curious, because in some places, fiber is really expensive. At my radio stations in Mississippi, we have a provider there that is not a fiber provider. They're really good, but they ain't cheap at all. Who's paying $100 or less a month for your fiber, maybe where you are now? Wow, that's pretty good. Now, one guy that didn't raise his hand was Chris Tarr. And Chris Tarr has another technology that I'm very thankful for. Chris, you want to tell us about what you're doing?
Which technology are you speaking of? Because there's so much.
Oh, I thought you had gotten some good results from 5G.
Oh, well, yeah. With the MaxConnect.
Well, that, or I'm sorry, I thought you had tried out a T-Mobile unlimited home service.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're talking about the home internet. Yeah, that works. That works really well. You know, now time will tell if that holds up, because,
right,
you know, they're selling a ton of them. And obviously it depends on the capacity of the tower and the number of users. And you also aren't, you know, you're at a lower priority than the cell phones. So, you know, so far I've had real good luck with it. But I am cognizant of the fact that it really is not for, you know, really high-end geek use. It's really more for just your average family, and also kind of meant for rural areas where you don't have any other choices. You know, it's a good alternative. So at least at this point, it's really inexpensive. And in my town, you know, there's nobody on it. So I'm getting really good results from that. Well, that may change as time goes on.
Yeah. So how many of you guys have played with Starlink at this point?
Oh, good point.
I'm looking at it. I'm actually looking at it here in Maine.
It is impressive.
I was really surprised. I was really impressed. Our team had an engineering retreat out in the mountains last year, and we brought one of the Starlink units with it just because, you know, like, why not? I literally just tossed it out on its tripod behind the main lodge building in the middle of this kind of little open clearing with a building. I mean, the building wasn't too far away, so it had some obstruction. Turned it on, set it up, and suddenly, boom, it locked up, and I had, you know, several hundred megabits worth of bandwidth available to me.
Well, and in comparison to some of the older services.
Alaska's using it.
Yeah.
Or he's trying Paul, it. As I recall, I keep reading his Facebook things. I think he's playing with it up there in the tundra of Alaska. I mean, those are great applications. I'm looking at it for a rural site here up in Aroostook County, Maine, that probably is never going to get fiber. The cable is 50% on, 50% off, and so I'm actually looking at Starlink to solve.
But for those of you who have used it, I'm curious about the reliability. I've got some customers that I was talking to this past week, and they were evaluating it for use as an IPSTL, and they found that about every 10 minutes or so, it just dropped out.
So it does vary. It depends on your it depends on your location. Depends on if there's a ground station nearby. One of the things that that I looked at was actually Starlink plus LTE, and that can prove to be a very, very robust combination.
I've seen you know, Starlink is now offering business plans.
Yes,
and those have a much higher QoS than you know.
And I've tested, and I tested both of them, and I agree that the business one seems to have better performance in that regard.
I've got two little examples. One is I have a colleague, a TELUS Alliance colleague in rural Washington State, and when he's on a Zoom meeting with us, normally it's fine, but he does, you know, freeze for a few seconds, maybe every 10 to 15 minutes or so. It's not long, but it's not the thing that he couldn't use it for an STL. But another application is, you know, some of my stations are in American Samoa. Shane, you've been there, and internet there is expensive, and it's a lot faster now than it was just a few years ago. I mean, we used to pay $500 a month to share 1/10 of 500 kilobits per second. So, yeah, which worked okay when the morning show started at, you know, 4:30 or 5 a.m. But when the Samoans got in and started downloading their spam, well, you know, that didn't work so well. But anyway, so, you know, now we're on the O3. Oh, now we're on fiber. They got undersea fiber finally. But there's a bunch of yachties out in the harbor, right? Because Samoa has a beautiful harbor, great for yachties to set anchor in. And we noticed one of them had a Starlink dish, and checked with him. He was getting typically 100. Of course, people like brag a little bit, but he says he's getting 100 meg down, 20 megs up. And so I was wondering, you know, on Starlink's map, they show they do cover American Samoa just as of Q4 this year. They're covering it now, but there's no uplink. There are no uplink sites shown anywhere near American Samoa. So I'm thinking it's got to be the satellite to satellite communication.
Oh, yeah,
that gets it there.
Yeah, they're relying on the satellite constellation, and yeah, they did get the sat to sat communications up and running, which helped quite a bit, actually.
Is that only on the newer sats? I mean, I thought the original sats couldn't do that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know if they couldn't, but I know they didn't.
Right. Originally, they didn't. Yeah. So I don't know if,
If you know the Geerling father and son engineer troupe from St. Louis, what's the younger one's name? Is it Jeff? Or is that the older one? Who's the son? Anyway,
I saw him, the younger Geerling.
The younger Geerling has done a number of videos on the reliability of that. So, okay, yeah, we're thankful for more convenient internet. And I'll put in a good word for 5G as well. Chris has had some good experiences, but I've got 5G is the only way that we can affordably get internet at three sites that we take care of. So it's except for one frustrating problem that turned out to be the local equipment. And by the way, just just so you'll know, T-Mobile offers home internet, which doesn't have a fixed IP address and blocks some forms of some protocols. Yep. They have a business plan, only $50 a month, fixed IP address, and it does not block any of those things. But you can't get it at your T-Mobile store. You have to look and look and look to find somebody who will sell it to you. I don't know why they make it so difficult, but it's difficult. And the T-Mobile store can't sell it to you. So
I like fiber so much. I'm a certified fiber optic technician. I passed my FOA. I just renewed it. I just took the refresher course, so I can splice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Now, do you have the equipment to splice?
Well, yeah. I actually had it a few years ago, and then I'm like, yeah. You know, and then now I'm like, well, maybe it might be handy to have, you know, on it, because the equipment, you can find all kinds of equipment out there. But it just, the technology is fun, and, you know.
Can you help my neighbor? Tim, can you help my neighbor share internet with me without his knowledge?
There you go. I don't climb poles anymore, though.
Oh gosh! Hey, let's hit a few comments here from our listeners. Let's see here. Again, Patrick is in. He says he's thankful for RDS. Some countries without it, I guess. If a country didn't have it, you could still run it, couldn't you? Or would they fine you for
it? It depends on the communications authority. Some countries don't even let you inject an MPX signal into the transmitter.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So and they tightly control the MPX power levels. So. I'm actually surprised at the number of broadcasters in this country that don't have it, that still don't have it, which really just makes me shake my head.
I think I'm more surprised at the number of broadcasters who don't get the timing right. Because there's so many stations I look at, and I'm like, okay, I already know what song it is. I'm going to go ahead and turn the channel, you know? I think if you're going to have it, you at least need to have it running correctly, you know?
And you know, if you've done enough of that with the same systems, it's easy enough, but... It seems like every automation system, every encoder, every middleware, it's all different. And I've been frustrated with it myself. And thank goodness, you know, we've had some help, you know, from the late Gary Klein. He helped me out several times. So, yeah, I understand why people don't put the effort in. They should. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be super difficult. I mean, it can be, and it can be really, really elaborate, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
But even fixed RDS with your call sign and your slogan and your frequency, you know, that's worth having.
Yeah, and that's really, really, really simple. I mean, so many audio processors, so many transmitters have that built in now. There's just no excuse not to.
Let's see. Fred Willard says, thanks for putting this together. Well, thank you, Fred. That's very kind of you to say that. Patrick reminds us that water-cooled transmitters can be good for the environment as well. Okay. Let's see. Mike reminds us the VoIP receivers, confidence monitoring, and alert source. Okay. 3 kilowatt transmitters, air fiber, cambium, point-to-point RF devices, very cost-effective backup STL solutions. And online cameras. Good. We've talked about most of those, but thanks for all those reminders. Let's see. Joseph Brandon is thankful for his Inovonix 638 to monitor his stations. I've got a couple of Inovonix. Who does remote monitoring with some kind of remote tuner? Yeah? Yep. Love those things. Wonderful. Wonderful. Can even be driving down the highway at 90 miles an hour. Well, I'm sorry, 70 miles an hour, and use the phone into my Inovonix to actually make sure we're on the air.
Well, truly, a lot of those receivers now have such a great instrumentation set in them that it really keeps you from having to have a lot of specialized tools. You know, you have a basic modulation analyzer, basic spectrum analyzer in a lot of cases. That's worth its weight in gold, I think.
Yeah.
To that point. One of the things I have on my list is accessible test equipment. You know, I entered this business in the 70s, and if you had a Simpson 260, you were way ahead of the game. If you had a pair of headsets with alligator clips at the end, that was another testing tool. But now you got SDRs, you've got spectrum analyzers, network analyzers, component testers, and you can get them all for less than $100 each. And it's crazy. You know, they may not be lab quality, but they give you an idea of what's going on instead of having to guess.
That's a good point.
Any of you guys own one of those little $200 analyzers that they sell on Amazon? There you go. That's the one. There you go. Yeah. That's one of the SDRs. But they also make you know, spectrum analyzers, network analyzers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're great. You know, if the transmitter doesn't have it built in, as many do, but those things are just wonderful. And you can even make an SDR be a backup STL receiver if you have to.
There was one time I actually pointed a satellite dish with nothing but an SDR and a laptop.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that gives you the information that you kind of need to know there. I like this comment from Mike Friedman. For splice-capable audio codecs, capable of using more than one internet source for an STL. And I... the company I work for makes a couple of those, and that micro MPX technology is capable of that if the company building it implements that. So that's been really helpful. Yeah, good deal. Guys, we're gonna take our last break and be back for some final thoughts from each of our thankful engineers. We could use way more than an hour for this, and I'm sorry that that an hour. There we go. An hour is all we have. So, man, hey, I you know what? I need to get the help of my friend Chris Tarr to. Hey, there's Chris on the. Hey, Chris, to talk about something or other from Angry Audio. Chris, what would you like me to put on the screen, dude?
Let's go with the Rave console.
The Rave console, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll let you put it up there. There you go.
Come on.
So basically, we all need little mixers, little consoles in production studios, home recording, maybe even some main studios. And it's always, there's always been a couple of go-to mixers for that, but a lot of them weren't real feature rich. And that's where the Rave console comes in. Now the Rave console has all Studio Hub inputs. It does mix minus, it does tallies, it has Bluetooth, you name it, this console has it. Plus, it's pretty sharp looking. I mean, it's a nice looking console. If you look at the back there, you can see there's plenty of I/O. And again, all Studio Hub. They have some really, and of course, with Angry Audio, those are going to be really nice preamps in there as well. And it's fully, there's transformers in there to make sure that, the audio quality is great. And they're really relatively inexpensive. They cost less than the brand A consoles. And you can see there, it's really sharp with the metering, the on-off buttons, just really a well-designed, well-built console with a bunch of features that home, especially now people voice tracking from home, you don't want to set them up with like a Mackie or something like that where people get confused and, they got those knobs and switches. This is actually a fairly decent way to get them on for voice tracking, and inexpensive compared to its peers. It is less expensive, and they are coming out with, I was talking to Catfish, and they're coming out with a package that includes a microphone, the whole kind of podcaster setup with this. So check it out. If you want to check it out online, angryaudio.com. Talk to your favorite broadcast dealer. They all carry them. In fact, I just ordered one for a project I'm working on. So when these problems come up, don't worry about it. Just get angry. Angryaudio.com.
Don't get mad. Get angry. That's right. Yeah. Thanks a lot to Angry Audio and Mike Dosh, who's just been terrific for the broadcast industry. I really appreciate Mike and appreciate Angry Audio for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Hey, we've got one more quick announcement, and that is from Max Connect. Here's John Takak, who's an engineer in Indianapolis.
With all of the recent cybersecurity attacks against large corporations, we were looking for a product that would give us the ultimate security at our transmitter sites and as well as with our broadcast equipment. Max Connect fits the bill very well. Its greatest security feature is the fact that it gives you a single static IP address. Using this single static IP address allows us to close hundreds of open ports on our firewalls across the company and restrict access to only the Max Connect IPs. This has greatly reduced our exposure to the World Wide Web and made us much more secure moving forward. It has also given us the ability to expand as needed in a secure fashion.
There are lots of benefits to having Max Connect wireless, and so many broadcasters have figured that out now to get the prioritized high-speed LTE packet service, if you will, almost anywhere. And you can look at a coverage map and see if your best coverage in your area is going to come from AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon, because Max Connect wireless is arranged for this prioritized service from each of those carriers, and even in Canada with Bell. So check it out. Thanks a lot, Max Connect, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Well, we've come to the end of our show, but I'll tell you what, I know some of the folks on screen here have talked more than others, and I've talked way too much. Let's take it around the horn again, if we can, and maybe now in light of everything you've seen, some of you may have had lists, and I'm sorry, I either wasn't aware of them or we didn't get to your list. Maybe each of you has a follow-up comment or something else that you've thought of that you're thankful for, or something that we just didn't get to, and let's go in reverse order this time. Tim Braddock from Maine. Tim, let me see if I can call on you. Oh, is Tim frozen? Maybe Tim.
Yeah, frozen. It looks like my video's frozen. I'm still okay. Here. But
your voice is there. Yeah, Tim, talk to us.
So I'm really thankful that at my age, I can still play radio. One of my clients is EMF.
Ah.
And I appreciate the opportunities that EMF has given me to take care of their sites in New Hampshire. And to stay active in it. And I also appreciate my other radio clients that still trust me and rely on me to provide them with the best customer service that we can. And that's my take.
Good deal. Thanks. Thanks, Tim. And Steve Tuzanu. Steve, I know you're not at a transmitter site, but you're probably thankful for it. What are you thankful for, Steve, to wrap us up?
Well, one of the things I'm thankful for is one of your sponsors, Max Connect. We had very poor internet at our transmitter site, and I switched to Max Connect, and it's lightning fast compared to what we had. Very happy camper.
Awesome. Awesome. I used it at a site that I was building before we got our fiber in. Shane Tovin. Thanksgiving.
So I'm thankful for just again the connected nature of our world today and the Internet of Things. I mean, we're able to do things now that weren't even conceivable even 10, 15 years ago, all because of the Internet and the Internet of Things. And you know, we have this wealth of knowledge at our fingertips through search engines like Google. So I'm just thankful for for the way that we're all so interconnected today.
I love it. I love it. I love that we can do this show. I mean, literally from my desktop. Christian Vang, what's last on your hit parade? You had a few more items. What's good
for you?
Well,
you know, probably the thing I'm most thankful for is the friends and the family that I have from this business. 25 years plus of doing this and no stopping. And it's really just because of great people along the way who have kept me going.
No doubt. I agree completely. All right. Chuck Kelly.
I'm thankful for the organizations that are facilitating bringing on the next generation of broadcast engineers into this industry. So many of us are graying. So many of us are leaving and retiring. And the SBE, the mentorship program, the education stuff that they're doing, Member Plus, state broadcast organizations that are funding education, and state organizations such as the education organization up in Wisconsin. I just did a seminar up there, and they're funding broadcast engineering training. And I think that's so critical, and it's such good news because I was worried where the rest of us are going to come from.
Yeah. I agree completely. Thankful for these groups and for the students who are interested in our profession. Absolutely. Marcus O'Rourke from Colorado. What are you thankful for?
Well, I'm kind of bouncing around or building upon what everybody else has said, but this community, the internet, just the ability to learn so many new things quickly nowadays, and to be able to have access to resources and mentors and people that know what they're doing. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Me too. And speaking of knowing what he's doing, Chris Tarr, what are you thankful for, Deb, buddy?
I will say a couple of things. Number one, I am so thankful that I get to do this, that I get to wake up every morning, play radio, come up with, play with toys, come up with solutions to problems. I never would have imagined 30 years ago, 35 years ago, that this is what I would be doing. And, to just be able to do that, what I do is just so enjoyable, so rewarding. And I wake up every day just feeling blessed that I have the opportunity to do that. And I'll also dovetail on, you know, what the others have said, which is, you know, the broadcast engineering family. You know, I am so grateful for you, Kirk, for Shane. The two of you have done separately some had a major impact on my life. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that as well. So, you know, I'll tell you, I wake up every day with the attitude of gratitude that, you know, I've been blessed. I mean, it's been great. And I can't imagine doing anything else. And on a technical note, since that wasn't technical, Ubiquiti radios, grateful for those. I use them all over the place. They're cheap. They're fun. They're great. And, you know, great way to tie together all my transmitter sites. So there you go.
And I like the fact that, you know, with a little bit of experience, they can make you feel good. Hey, look what I did. I made this thing happen.
I just connected all of my remote transmitter sites using Ubiquiti. So,
oh, wow.
Nice. Very happy.
Wow. I feel so blessed, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for joining our show on short notice. Thank you for each of your input here, and it's just been delightful. I am so, look at me, smiling ear to ear. And you know, today was okay, but I'll tell you, the weather here in Nashville has been just a real Debbie Downer for the last few days, and you guys have really lifted my spirit. So I'm ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. We're going to, I offered to cook the turkey. And as you know, my wife Carmen's from the Dominican Republic, and she's a chef. And I said, "Honey, I'll be glad to cook the turkey." And a couple days ago, she says, "No, I'm cooking the turkey." And I said, "Well, you
don't very smart of her."
Now, come on, I can cook a turkey. And she said, "I said, but you don't have turkeys in the Dominican Republic, do you?" "No, but we have big chickens." So
it works.
All right. I'm thankful for all of you, and I'm thankful for our sponsors, and thankful also for Suncast, who normally puts this show together, and he will do the best he can with what I leave him here. Thanks to, let's get him back on screen here, and I'll name them individually. Chris Tarr, Marcus O'Rourke, Shane Tovin, Christian Vang, Chuck Kelly, Steve Tuzanu, and Tim Braddock. Thank you all for being here. It has been my pleasure and such a delight, and I wish you each a wonderful Thanksgiving, a great holiday season. And we'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.